Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that there is great controversy within the Republican Party. Obviously, a clear majority of people who came to the meeting this morning to oust Liz Cheney were happy with the result. They wanted her gone as party leader. It doesn't mean that all of those people want her out of the House of Representatives, where she's running for re-election in the state of Wyoming. She might be running for something else, however. There are folks who are talking about, number one, a crowd of people planning to leave the Republican Party, saying they are motivated by the Cheney dismissal. Who are they? Actually, some pretty well-known names, though I wouldn't say they are necessarily mainstream party leaders. We will get to that, and we will also get to the question as to what next for Liz Cheney with her reaction today to her being voted out as chairman of the House Republican Conference. But there's also a statement from the mayor of Minneapolis that is shocking because it displays some common sense, not often associated with Mayor Fry of Minneapolis. And one of the things he's talking about is the way that defund the police talk may have actually increased crime in Minneapolis. And by the way, not just in Minneapolis. There's a devastating article by Stephen J.K. Walters. He's the author of Boomtowns, Restoring the Urban American Dream, and he's the chief economist at the Maryland Public Policy Institute and a fellow at Johns Hopkins University Institute for Applied Economics, Global Health, and the Study of Business Enterprise. He's written a piece that is heartbreaking to read because it's called Anatomy of a Crime Wave, Baltimore's Experiment with Depolicing Has Been Disastrous and Deadly. Dr. Walters, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me, Michael.
It's a pleasure, though the subject isn't a pleasure. How bad is the crime wave in Baltimore?
Well, it's horrifying. Over the last decade, we've lost almost 3,000 people to homicide. About one in every 200 Baltimoreans has died due to homicide in the past decade. So we've been running experiment in depolicing, and it's been terrible.
One out of every 200 people in the city murdered?
Yeah, we're about 600,000 people. Actually, we're losing them every day to exit as well as the homicide problem. But, our homicide rate has more or less doubled, almost doubled from about 31 per 100,000 people a decade ago to almost 60 per 100,000 presently. Ever since 2015, the Freddie Gray riots happened in 2015, our homicide rate, our count has been above 300 deaths a year. But our climb actually started sooner than that. That's part of the story here. Baltimore, this is a very tragic story for us, but it's a leading indicator for perhaps other cities. We are seeing national increases in crime rates and homicide rates as depolicing takes root. Some of it is budget driven. Some of it is ideological. Some of it is just demoralization. You know, in the aftermath of Ferguson, it's called the Ferguson effect. Proactive policing is just getting harder and harder to do, and so there's speculation and there's some evidence that this is contributing to it. But what Baltimore did well before Ferguson was just decide that we could afford to treat the crime problem with less police. And so the Baltimore political leadership, starting in 2011, just started cutting not the dollar budget, but reducing the number of boots on the ground. So we used to have about 3,900 budget lines for the Baltimore Police Department a decade ago. Now we're down around 3,200. So that's about 700 staff that have been shown the door or that haven't been rehired as there's been turnover. And you just can't police a city successfully with that kind of resource constraint. And people are dying as a result. Our homicide, the near doubling of the homicide rate is just a tragic story. And there's a disparate racial impact here. 93% of the homicides in that decade, for those of known race, 93% have been black.
What percentage
of
the
matter? This is an issue that should concern everyone across the ideological spectrum. How is this happening? Why is this happening? And what's going on?
What's the percentage of black citizens of Baltimore, the population in general?
About 63%.
I see. And Baltimore, as I recall, it used to have over 800,000 people, right?
More than that. In 1950, that was our peak. We had 950,000 residents in Baltimore.
And it's down to 600,000.
More than a third of the population in that time.
Has there been... people were worried about the death of New York, and then they had some pretty good innings with Rudy Giuliani and then Michael Bloomberg. Now New York's trying to choose another mayor. Have there been any interludes in Baltimore's
yes.
long decline?
Yes. But I'm glad you brought up New York because, you know, we were in a similar, though not quite so severe, period of a crime wave in the 90s. So we looked to New York and under Mayor Giuliani and Chief Bratton, New York had made enormous progress. It saved a lot of lives with proactive policing. I think their homicide rate was down about 80%. From the onset of the Giuliani administration and until its conclusion. So the then mayor of Baltimore back in the first decade of the new millennium, Mayor Martin O'Malley, who you may recall ran briefly for president, Mayor O'Malley imported a couple of chiefs from New York to import New York-style policing, and the hope here was that it would save some lives. Unfortunately, the something was lost in translation. So what Chief Bratton was doing in New York was called community policing or broken windows policing. Somehow, as we came down the Jersey Turnpike with the New York imports, what happened here was called zero-tolerance policing. And the person behind the story of Baltimore, the Wire program, David Simon, basically summed it up by saying, in this period, Mayor O'Malley and the police chief that he'd hired threw away the Constitution, and we just started arresting people. The idea here was that, well, aggressive policing will solve this problem, but broken windows policing or community policing is not aggressive policing. It's the originator, George Kelling, called it a negotiated sense of order within a community. So you go into the neighborhoods and you say, what do you want police to do for you? You know, do you want us to clear the drug corners or not? Do you want us to move vagrants out or not? If the community says no, then we won't do it. If the community says yes, we will do it. So you negotiate the level of order that the community is comfortable with, and then you do, you know, boots on the ground, you walk beats, and you talk to people, and you build trust with the community and so forth. We just didn't do that in Baltimore. There were a couple of years in 2005.
Dr. Walters, is that a matter of money or is it a matter of will? I want to get to that. Can you hang on for one more segment? Because I think this impacts everywhere, and I know, I'm sure Baltimore, you can just answer yes or no. I'm sure you don't have a homeless problem, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, you do. Okay, so how do you deal with that in terms of policing, or should it be simply a job for psychiatrists and social workers and people who want to purchase hotel rooms to shelter the people experiencing homelessness? We will get to that and more lessons from Baltimore for the rest of the country. Unfortunately, for what really once was a pretty wonderful city. They're mostly lessons of what not to do. We're talking to Stephen J.K. Walters, who's a chief economist at the Maryland Public Policy Institute. We'll be right back. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show. We are joined for a few minutes more by Dr. Stephen J.K. Walters. He is the author of Boomtowns, Restoring the American Dream. He's also the chief economist at the American Public Policy Institute. He has written a very disturbing but brilliantly worded and presented piece about an anatomy of a crime wave. Baltimore's experiment with depolicing has been disastrous and deadly. Okay, Dr. Walters, I was asking you about homelessness in Baltimore. You would think, wouldn't you, if the city has lost one-third of its population and there are people moving out of town, that has to have some empty buildings somewhere that people could actually move into, find a home in. What is the essential feature of the Baltimore homeless problem, and does it connect to the crime rate?
Well, it's symptomatic of disorder the crime problem. The people who have left the city have also abandoned properties that are largely uninhabitable. The estimates of vacant and uninhabitable properties in the city range from about 16,000 up to 40,000 properties. So there's room for people, but we need a lot of capital investment before those people can be accommodated well, and we don't get that because of economic policies that repel investment. I guess I would summarize our treatment of the homelessness problem in the city the way it's being addressed in some other cities like San Francisco, which is a dose of enabling, as the psychologists would put it. We are putting up homeless people in hotels. They're not getting the kind of treatment either for mental health issues or addiction issues that would really set them on the right path. So that's kind of a tragedy. But it's also part of the crime problem in the sense that at some point what happened is a false narrative took root that, you know, dating back to those days that we were talking about earlier where there was really a zero tolerance approach, a mistaken assumption that that's what New York had done, so we should do it too, where we were over-arresting. People still think that that's the problem. So as we've depoliced, as we've reduced the force, and as we've reduced arrest rates, I mean, at some point we've reduced drug arrests from about 20,000 annually to about 3,000, and just lately the city's prosecutor has decided, I'm not going to prosecute drug possession or attempted distribution of drugs, I'm not going to prosecute trespassing, I'm not going to prosecute prostitution and various other things. We need to attack the crime problem at its most severe level, and so I'm just going to ignore these things, and hopefully by targeting police at homicides and carjackings and so forth, we'll get a handle on this problem. But really what that does is it enables the development of kind of a sense of disorder in the city, and it enables the development of criminal behavior. I mean, you start on the criminal path by doing small stuff, and you work your way up to things like carjacking and homicides. And what we've told people in Baltimore in the past few months is, well, we're going to just ignore that. We're going to hope that, you know, maybe the intercession of social workers and counselors will talk people out of prostitution or drug use and so forth, so that we're not going to have the police sweep drug corners anymore or make arrests for drug possession or drug use in public. And, you know, there's just this broken windows theory of crime that worked so well in New York. We're doing the exact opposite. We're leaving the windows broken, and we're inviting more people to break windows and do disorderly things and engage in disorderly conduct on a day-to-day basis. And it's not been working for the decade that we've been depolicing, and it's likely to accelerate in coming years.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I have no idea what the right answer is, frankly, or what your answer will be. But Maryland has a very popular governor who's a Republican, Larry Hogan. And Baltimore is by far the biggest city in the state. I think nothing else close. Has Governor Hogan taken any action to try to at least revive some stirrings of hope in Baltimore City?
He has tried, and as you mentioned it, he and the mayor are scheduled to meet tomorrow. They've been engaged in kind of a Twitter war of words in recent weeks, because the governor, though a Republican, faces a veto-proof majority in the state legislature. The city is heavily Democratic. Democrats outnumber Republicans about 10-1. So he's offered legislation about enforcement of gun laws and so forth, and sentencing laws that the legislature has just turned a blind eye to. He's criticized what's gone on not only in this mayor's watch, but previous mayors. And there's, you know, this is sort of symptomatic of the ideological divide in the country, where people just aren't talking to each other, looking for common ground. So we'll see what happens coming out of the meeting tomorrow between the two.
Okay, that's fascinating. Let me. We have just a few moments left, and let me ask you just very quickly, if you can, what are two things that could be done immediately to ameliorate the situation, to begin making it better?
Well, the first thing I'm hopeful that comes out of the meeting is some cooperation between the state police and forces outside the city, adding to the force levels in the city. The city cops are just brutally understaffed, and they can't cover the ground that they need to cover, and so help is needed to staff up. We've depoliced much too aggressively for too long, so a resource commitment from the state and also surrounding jurisdictions to help out in the short run would be great. Second thing that has to happen is, you know, the political leadership in the city just has to change the way it views crime and policing. We've bought into this false narrative of excessive policing when there's actually inadequate proactive policing. So they need to come to that realization that they're costing lives by worrying more about who might get arrested than about who criminals might kill or harm with violent crime. And so there needs to be a big change of heart and change of mind among the city leadership.
Dr. Stephen Wolters, thank you for joining us. His book is called Boom Towns, Restoring the Urban American Dream. He is also the chief economist at the Maryland Public Policy Institute. And you may live far from Baltimore, but some of the problems that city has experienced are increasingly common all around the country, certainly here in the Pacific Northwest, or in Chicago, or Atlanta. Around the United States, some of these problems of depolicing are very much to the fore, including Minneapolis, where the mayor just made a confession. And speaking of a stunning confession, there are people today who have begun talk about a Liz Cheney for president campaign. Will that go anywhere at all? She was actually asked about it. We will get to that and much more coming up on The Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Inflation is increasing at its fastest point in more than 12 years. That's because it jumped 4.2% on an annualized rate in April. Republican lawmakers saying rising prices and a lackluster jobs report are all the more reasons for the federal government to not be spending any more money, as it will only hurt the economy as it recovers from the pandemic. Panic buying and hoarding is leading to long lines at the pump in the Southeast. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson is trying to calm fears of people in his state.
We don't want there to be a run on gas. We don't want people to freak out, think this is not going to be there in the very near future.
Florida, Georgia, Virginia, and North Carolina all made emergency declarations because of a rising gas shortage in the region. The declarations will help increase supply after a cyber attack shut down a major pipeline last Friday. The panic also causing gas prices to rise across the country. USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, we're talking about the tragic crime upsurge in the city of Baltimore, where 93% over the last 10 years, 93% of the murder victims have been black. It's and in a city that is majority black, but still it is appalling. And in Minnesota, now that Derek Chauvin is going to be sentenced even longer to prison because the judge, Judge Cahill, found aggravating circumstances. And by the way, I think this is an entirely appropriate decision. There were aggravating circumstances in the behavior of Derek Chauvin. And so they were talking initially about a likely sentence of 12 years. It's going to be more. But with that, there are some glimmers of sanity amidst a terrible situation. There's commentary that points out that on Sunday night, there were seven people who were shot in multiple incidents, with one of them dying in Baltimore. Sunday night, seven different shooting incidents. This is in the city of Minneapolis. Another person was killed on Monday night. Arrests and prosecutions are lagging far behind the reported incidents. And people have been noticing. There's one pastor named Dale Hume who came forward to say that the city's efforts to defund the police haven't worked. And, quote, you can obviously see that is not the solution. And then there's this from Jacob Frey, the very liberal Democratic mayor of Minneapolis, who had this to say. He said, the violence needs to stop. Well, yes. It's unacceptable. Well, yes. People deserve to feel safe in their neighborhood. They deserve to be able to send their kids out to the sidewalk to play and to recreate without bullets flying by. That's unacceptable. We should be holding these perpetrators accountable. And then the mayor went on to say, it's just the reality of the solution, you know. When you make big, overarching statements that we're going to defund or abolish and dismantle the police department and get rid of all the officers, there's an impact to that. Yeah, right. Of course there's an impact to that. Which side are you on? The side of chaos and crime or the side of, you'll pardon the expression, law and order? He went on to say, do we need massive change? Yes, we do. We need accountability and culture shift within our department, and we need police. Thank you. Mayor Fry says he plans to release a plan later this week that includes laying out both safety and accountability. Okay. After, what has it been? It's been over a year. I guess it's a year since the George Floyd's death. That's coming up on soon, on Memorial Day. And with all of this and all of the talk and all of the talk about the police departments being dangerous and being a profound danger, it getting back to a normal common sense idea that policing is the most essential function of government. Policing and protection. Nothing more rock bottom core essential than that as the purpose of government. And for achieving that purpose, there's a report in the New York Times that I think the New York Times, with a little bit too much glee, is hailing as some kind of a volcanic eruption, a sea change, something profound and significant. And the piece in the Times says more than 100 Republicans, including some former elected officials, are preparing to release a letter this week threatening to form a third party if the Republican Party does not make certain changes, according to an organizer of the effort. The statement is expected to take aim at former President Donald J. Trump's stranglehold on Republicans, which signatories to the document have deemed unconscionable. Now, again, the idea that Trump has a stranglehold on the party is so wildly overstated. And what it says is that the Democrats, more than anybody else, and people like the people in the New York Times, want Trump to make a comeback. Because he's such a great target, he also is great for getting headlines. And the preamble of the full statement, which is going to be released on Thursday, says, when in our democratic republic forces of conspiracy, division, and despotism arise, it is the patriotic duty of citizens to act collectively in defense of liberty and justice. The effort comes as House Republican leaders are expected on Wednesday to oust Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming. Well, they did that. This is a first step, said Miles Taylor, who has stepped forward as an organizer of the effort and a former Trump-era Department of Homeland Security official. Okay, they don't immediately identify him as he was anonymous. Do you remember there was a column in the New York Times from someone who was supposed to be very, very close to the president? And it was this guy, Miles Taylor, who apparently is a very bright guy. But he had a problem because he wrote that column by anonymous. Then he did a book as anonymous. And subsequent to doing the book, he was going on TV denying that he was anonymous. Later, he admitted that he was. And Miles Taylor says, this is us saying that a group of more than 100 prominent Republicans think that the situation has gotten so dire with the Republican Party that it is now time to seriously consider whether an alternative might be the only option. Okay, it's a terrible idea. If you want to change the Republican Party, you cannot change the Republican Party by leaving it. That has never, ever worked. It's never worked in all of American history. And what they're saying now is it's they're planning to change the Republican Party not just by leaving it, but by basically holding it hostage, saying, well, unless you change, we're going to leave. You think that a lot of people are going to change the party? You think it's going to work with Mitch McConnell? It's going to work with Kevin McCarthy? You really think so? I don't. Mr. Taylor declined to name the signers. The list of people signing the statement includes former officials at both the state and national level who once were governors, members of Congress, ambassadors, cabinet secretaries, state legislators, and Republican Party chairmen. Do I think this is a good sign? No, I think it's a terrible sign. And the idea of organizing some drive within the party to lift up a positive agenda for conservative change, that's what's desperately needed. They are reporting that some of the big names with this statement that is coming Thursday, we'll see if it actually arrives, are Christine Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, who also spoke at the Democratic convention this year for Joe Biden, Governor Tom Ridge of Pennsylvania, the first secretary ever of Homeland Security, who, by the way, was an excellent governor of Pennsylvania, Barbara Comstock of Virginia, former member of Congress, former member of Congress Charlie Dent of Pennsylvania. We will see. I do not necessarily take the word of Miles Taylor. He said yesterday that he was not going to reveal the specific changes that the coalition was planning to demand of the Republican Party in its statement. I think the statement is probably going to be self-important and self-defeating. More coming up on Liz Cheney for president on The Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, Kristi Noem, who is the governor of South Dakota, and is considered one of the front runners, no, really, for the presidential nomination by the Republican Party, especially if President Trump doesn't run. If he does run, I'm sure Kristi Noem will be supporting him. She is a very much a Trump loyalist. And anyway, that the South Dakota governor has encouraged police officers in Seattle to bring their talents and apply to law enforcement agencies in South Dakota. And the weather in South Dakota, particularly the winter time. Seattle, you don't see a lot of sunshine, but South Dakota's, I've been in South Dakota in the winter, and it's brutal. But in any event, Governor Noem welcomed the Seattle officers. This is because, as you know, and we've spoken about this on the show before, some of Seattle's finest, and they really are, they're some of the finest people in the city, are leaving the police department because of the incredible mismanagement of the city by the city council and this mayor, who the mayor's not running for re-election. We have an election this year. They just issued a list of the front runners for the election. And look, there might be grounds for hope, but there's some very unusual candidates. Though we may have the chance of recalling, at least the people who live in her district, Ashama Swant, the openly socialist member of council. There are a number who are a little bit less open about it. In any event, Governor Noem welcomed the potential police recruits to South Dakota by saying, to those Seattle officers leaving the force, instead of demonizing you in South Dakota, we stand with you. This in a tweet. There are more than 100 Seattle police officers who have already left the force. It's a tragedy. I think this is a comment from Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College. He's saying, the good thing for these Seattle officers, if they do go out to South Dakota, is you'll have a job where you're loved and respected and get the appreciation you deserve.
The bad thing, South Dakota. Okay. Speaking of South Dakota, there's talk of another surprise candidate for president, and that would be Liz Cheney. Now, she is running right now for re-election in the state of Wyoming. I hope she wins. I hope she wins as a strong conservative with a very strong conservative record, a more conservative record than her replacement, by the way, Elise Stefanik. But there's a piece that in Yahoo News that says, as for Liz Cheney, she's expected to be even more outspoken if she is stripped of her leadership position and replaced with Representative Elise Stefanik. I think that's right. If the idea of this was to shut Liz Cheney up, this is not the right strategy for doing it. She now has a much, much bigger platform. She will undoubtedly be on Meet the Press and all over. And again, she will become one of those Republicans who's very much welcomed on MSNBC and CNN. And in fact, President Trump alluded to that in his statement about her victory earlier today. James King, a professor of political science at University of Wyoming, told Yahoo News that Cheney has shown herself to be a relentless campaigner in her home state who would go to any local Republican function that would have her come speak to talk about where the party goes in the future. Professor King at University of Wyoming said Cheney is very well positioned to win re-election in Wyoming in 2022 if she wants, even though Trump and his political operation have said they will work to defeat her. But King added, there is that speculation that she is interested in running for president in 2024. Who knew? He's a professor at University of Wyoming, presumably, I mean, it's a very small state. There's only 560,000 people who live there. Representative Elise Stefanik has replaced her. In fact, Cheney said in late April, which is not that long ago, it's a couple of weeks ago, Cheney said when she was asked that she hasn't ruled out a run for president. Quote, I think we have a huge number of interesting candidates, but I think that we're going to be in a good position to be able to take the White House. I do think that some of our candidates who led the charge, particularly the senators who led the unconstitutional charge not to certify the election, you know, in my view, that's disqualifying, Liz Cheney told the New York Post. I think that adherence to the Constitution, adherence to your oath, has got to be at the top of the list. So I think, you know, that certainly will be a factor that I'm looking at, and I think a number of voters will be looking at as they decide about 24. Fortunately, not all the potential candidates for president were part of that effort to decertify the votes. And by the way, I happen to agree with her. I think that if somebody actually stepped forward and tried to interfere with the certification of the votes because they were trying to overturn the election, I'd find it tough to support, as a candidate for the nomination, an individual in that position. Speaking of which, there's a film that could hardly be more timely. It's a documentary. And it's a documentary that actually looks back at some of the history of attempted peacemaking between Israelis and Palestinians. And it's shockingly riveting for a film about diplomacy. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Back in the 1990s, extended top-secret negotiations came close to bringing a sweeping Middle East peace agreement. Now some of the leading American participants in these dramatic events tell the inside story, emphasizing the human factor. And that's the title of a new gripping documentary, now playing in select theaters and available on some streaming services.
When I look back now, we saw the world the way we wanted it to be. We did not see the world the way it was.
The movie attempts to be up the middle and scrupulously fair, including brief scenes of terrorist violence and rioting for a PG-13 rating. Dennis Ross, Aaron David Miller, and Martin Indyk may not be household names, but their perspective on historic events comes across with real emotional impact. 3 stars for the informative and impressive The Human Factor. The documentary footage, historical footage of the CHOS president, Bill Clinton, Yasser Arafat, the late Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, the current Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, and many others, is gripping. And frankly, with all these events going on, it could hardly be more timely for those people who say, well, why can't you just make peace? There are deep, deep obstacles to peace. The film The Human Factor goes into some of them. There's a U.S. governmental agency that has just warned Americans in terms of safety and the public interest, public service announcements, about saying no to plastic bags. For what purpose? Well, for containing a commodity that's very much in demand right now, gasoline. And there is an Indian inventor and spiritualist who says we can cure the COVID-19 devastation by changing the spelling. Why? How? We will get to that. And a brand new book from one of America's most beloved figures, a great thinker and an activist, and also a great athlete. The book calls for the abolition of all police departments and all prisons. Good idea? We'll talk about that, and we'll be speaking with Alan Dershowitz. Not about American politics right now, not about various scandals and back and forth, Democrats, Republicans. He's written a couple of excellent books about Israel. We'll talk about a way that this, with God's help, could possibly be the last time there is a war between Israel and Hamas. We will get to that and to much more next time, including how many crank calls can you make to emergency services before the police show up? It's an interesting question. And much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
With Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.